How about them Pistons? Heard it in the update. Sixth place now in the Eastern Conference. Another win and a winning month. We'll get to them. Good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. We have a busy show today. We'll be carrying the Brad Holmes press conference live later this morning when he addresses this season and what's ahead for the Lions. John, how you doing?
Great. I would tell you what, when I heard, I was driving home yesterday, and I heard Karsh say, you know, Brad Holmes is going to be on live, and we're going to carry it at 9. I thought, oh, wait a second here. Are we?
Yeah.
Let me check with Jimmy. I got a little bit excited because I want to be able to hear what he has to say so that then when he's done, we can react to it in the moment instead of, you know, oh, hey, Dan's got a press conference, and then we just get clips, but we get a chance to react to it the following day. This is it's going to be so interesting to be able to hear his reaction, his take, his emotions following the unexpected loss and end to the season.
Last year, he came with receipts. Last year, he came to flex a little bit. I have no idea what tone we're going to get. He's done a great job. I think they tried at the deadline. They added Za'Darius Smith. They didn't get even to where they were a year ago. So I'll be curious to see what he attributes that to, how much of it he puts on the injuries, how much he emphasizes what they need to do this upcoming summer, spring, draft, free agency. How close does he think they are? Right? I think these are really interesting things to listen for.
Yeah. And what are the priorities in the offseason?
Yeah.
In regards to who do you want to re-sign? Who's, you know, he's not going to say who's not going to be back, but they're already making, you know, reserved contracts and, you know, letting some guys go and trying to position themselves as best they can while some other teams are still playing to maximize that, the timing of this.
Yeah, there will,
even
course,
though it's bad.
There will, of course, be things he won't answer and can't answer. You're like, hey, are you going to go after Max Crosby? We heard you went after him in November. Is that back on the table? Yeah, we're not going to get necessarily the entire blueprint spelled out in front of us, but you got to read between the lines a little bit and see what Brad Holmes has cooked up for this offseason. So we'll find out later this morning. Again, John said 9 o'clock is when we will carry that, and we will take extended time to really get into it. The Pistons, John.
Mm-hmm.
How about them Pistons?
How about that? 23 wins on the season, 2 above 500, but they're in a playoff position, not postseason position with the play-in tournament. They are in playoff position at the 6th seed, and they have secured their first winning month. No matter what happens from now to the end of January, they will have a winning month for the first time since 2019. And I know I said this earlier. It was 6 years. I forgot that we turned the calendar to 2025, or 5 years. It's actually been 6 years since this has happened. It's two things to me.
Yeah.
It's a realization of the misery Pistons fans have been through for that 5.5 to 6 years. Unbelievable misery watching at times horrific basketball. But it's also on the positive side of things. How about this is a team that had the worst season in franchise history last year. Now with JB, a healthy Cade, adding some, which we all thought, we didn't get to see it under Troy Weaver, adding some spacing, adding some shooters, adding some players around that complement Cade, and not just going with more point guards and bigs, but actually putting together an NBA team that fits modern-day NBA style of play. The fact that they are 23 wins right now, at 23 wins, in a playoff position, the turnaround from last year to now is tremendous.
And it's for a variety of reasons, right? Let's just focus. Last night is Atlanta. That's a team that's in the playoffs right now that they leapfrog. And they did it emphatically. On the road, up by 20, cruise control. They're flying around on defense. I like what I saw from Asar Thompson. I like what I saw from Isaiah Stewart. This team was not defending like this a year ago. So I start there. Obviously, Cade Cunningham stepped forward. He's stronger at the rim. Turnovers, he's been better, still can get better, but he is on the ascent to an all-star status and more. And then the other thing I really point to is JB Bickerstaff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tom Gores has been given enough credit for being willing to buy out Monty Williams at $65 million, right? We have owners in this city who are hesitant to make those commitments. Tom Gores, for all his flaws, for all his failures, for all his faux pas, put his money where his mouth is and said, enough's enough. I don't care how much money I got to throw at the problem. We need a real coach in here. We need someone that's going to try to get this team to play defense. Someone who's going to try to get Cade to the next level. I'm going to bring in Trajan Langdon to put shooters around him. We're going to try, right? We're not going to sit here and be this embarrassing. I don't care how much money I owe Monty Williams. It's a point of pride. We're not doing this anymore. How many millions? I don't care. I got to give him credit for that because he and I think deserved to take the heat when he did, but also deserves some credit for being willing to throw money at the problem to solve it.
Yeah, and in essence, he paid a coach 1 year, $78 million, $75 million, something. Like, I don't even know what. At that point, it doesn't matter how wrong I might be.
Is anybody else willing to do that?
It's a ton of money for 1 year.
Anybody else willing to do that?
And it was he paid him that much money to provide the worst year in franchise history. And when you put it in that context, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And but to be able to then flip the switch and say, all right, I may have made the biggest mistake I've ever made as an owner. I'm willing to own it. I'm willing to pay what I have to pay to get out of this mistake and move forward with competency at the GM level, who now has competency in regards to putting players around your star player. And I can only go back to, how long did we delay what we're seeing now?
Yeah.
In the misuse of Cade and the roster in the first few years of his young career.
So they haven't skipped a beat without Ivy. What does that mean? I think that's something for you guys just to chew on and maybe think about if this thing keeps going the way it is. They're 9-3 since January 1. They're 12-4 since December 19th, and that was before they went out west. They're out west during the holidays, and the loss since the 19th, that loss on the 19th was the Jazz. Remember that game? How bad that was. The Jazz are the second worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, it was an ugly loss.
I'm kind of curious because they gave up 126 to them. Yeah. And I think they gave up 48 in the first. Remember
and
that?
They were dead on arrival.
Yeah, I kind of curious. I wonder if there's something
from that moment.
Yeah. Was there kind of a something to ask Bickerstaff? We need to get him on probably.
I was going to say, we probably are due to get him back on. I mean,
nothing else going on anymore.
Well, I was going to say, are they the best team in Detroit right now? It's not saying much. You know, the Lions are done now.
The Lions are, yeah. I mean, so
well,
you
got
you
some
take
basketball
Lions
in general with the college teams. I mean, yeah. It could be an interesting March and April around here.
Could be fun.
April.
Stop.
April in the East.
All right, guys. We're going to have some football fun at 6:35. We've got the Thursday touchdown. Coming up next, Ben Johnson was introduced to the Chicago Bears, and he said something about the Lions I think you'll want to hear. It's next, 97.1. All right, guys, we're talking about the best of the best. It's Moran Chevrolet, Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer for 2024, and they're celebrating with awesome deals all month long. So get off the sidelines and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet, where you can lease the 2025 Blazer. That's $299 a month, 24-month lease, $999 down. Deals like that, it's Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price. Period. Score your best deal. That's MoranExpress.com. Click around and you'll see what we're talking about. Or stop out and check them out in person. They're on Gratiot north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Pistons win again. Six seed in the East means you avoid the play-in. They're playing well. Cade Cunningham playing like an all-star. They were giving him some love on TNT this week. The Pistons are a thing. And you know, the whole don't let the Tigers get hot. Here come the Pistons.
Oh, they're hot.
Yeah.
And they you know, if they just keep playing like this, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be playing postseason basketball, and they're not the quote-unquote winter sport that we thought had the best chance of making the postseason. You're going tonight, though.
I'll be there at the LCA. Please win. Okay, John, yesterday Ben Johnson was introduced to the city of Chicago. I'm sure people saw the viral moment where he said, yeah, I like beating LaFleur two times a year. He was very complimentary of Dan Campbell as a mentor. He thanked Sheila. He was, you know, positive about the Lions. In fact, he went as far as to say, it doesn't matter who the play caller is in Detroit. Again, audio quality not great. Apologies, guys. But the runway's there. They're going to be a juggernaut. It doesn't even matter who the play caller is in Detroit. That should make you feel good.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about all the young talent. Dan talked about all the guys in key positions, quarterback, running backs, you know, offensive line for now, you know, and obviously receivers. So they are going to be built. I do think it does matter the play caller. But ultimately, this is Dan's offense. And that's why I think, okay, the runway is there. So is the engine. Like, it's so is the aircraft. Everything is there for this team to still be, you mentioned yesterday, top five offense. Not going to necessarily say the number one offense in the NFL, number one scoring offense or passing or running, whatever. A top five offense.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be something that we have to remind people of. As we get closer to next season, there's going to be a lot of, but they lost Ben Johnson. And I want people to remember what he just said, which is the runway is there. And remember what Dan Campbell said this week. I've been more involved in the offense since Anthony Lynn was let go. Losing one of the guys architecting plays is a thing.
Sure.
But the talent is there. They will still collaborate. The offense should still be very, very good next season. The defensive side of the ball is going to be a little more interesting. And I know you want to really get into that coming up at 6:50. Aaron Glenn did leave. He's going to be the Jets coach. I saw them post a hype video. Of course, they drafted him, and they've got old footage. And
how cool is that, though, for him?
Yeah.
First round pick for the Jets, plays there, and then now gets to go back as the head coach. So he's well aware of the New York media, the environment, the atmosphere that's there. It's going to be interesting to see what they do offensively with their QB and how he handles that situation. I think that's going to be wildly entertaining.
So I think some people have gone, that's a really tough job. And I think they're missing out on a key selling point. You get to fire Aaron Rodgers. How great of a, I mean, come on, that's got to be fun. But I do think he has the temperament to be a head coach.
Sure.
I do think he relates to players. I think he also has the temperament for New York, which is super important to be the Jets coach when they aren't very good. Their defense underachieved this year. I think immediately he'll come in and get the most out of that group. And this is not a one-year deal. They are going to have to churn some things offensively, but I think that's a hell of a hire for the Jets. If someone's going to do it, he's the guy.
Yeah. Excited to see what happens.
And he's not in the division, so don't have to play the stupid.
He's not even in the conference.
Yeah, don't have to play the betrayal, you know, traitor stuff with Aaron Glenn. All right, let's get to Heather's news.
So crews have been out working hard to repair water main breaks across Detroit after freezing temperatures caused a significant number of breaks across the city. There were a few dozen breaks across Detroit's 3,000 miles of water main, and they say this is triple to double what is typical during the winter season. And officials are saying 11 crews have been out in the frigid cold working hard, but kind of noted that they're basically treading water until the temperatures warm back up. And you might have seen some pictures. These water main breaks have turned cars into carsicles.
I saw.
Right, where these cars are just covered in water, which then freeze. They're being towed off to like garages to thaw out.
I know. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable looking at how covered and caked in ice these are.
It's pretty crazy. And not only that, I mean, water has been cut off to numerous residents as well across the city. So hopefully these crews, and now that the temperature is, you know, felt warm today.
Still below freezing.
It is, yeah. But still it was like, oh, do I need to wear my jacket today?
I know. It's, I hate so wearing cold jackets. And as soon as I walked out, I'm like, yep, don't need one today.
Which is so crazy because It's
still
really
not
cold
warm.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cold. A Detroit man is facing multiple charges after biting off a part of a woman's ear while assaulting her at a motel in Royal Oak Township. Happened on January 18th. Police responded to the American Inn Motel of reports of this woman and children screaming for help. I won't get into all the details because police say the level of violence in this case is scary. The man, 23 years old, was charged with first-degree criminal sexual conduct, assault with intent to maim, assault by strangulation, felonious assault, and two counts of child abuse and domestic violence. So thank goodness police got there when they did. But man, real sad story. One of the two smaller towers of the Renaissance Center is headed for auction later this year. So the 21-story Tower 600, which is now almost completely empty, is situated east of the original five towers, and it's listed to be auctioned off March 17th through March 19th, and the starting bid is $2.75 million. The tower and its like twin tower was built in 1981, and they have different ownership than the older original five, which belong to GM. So, you know, if it's something you're looking to get involved with, there's your chance.
Make a bid.
Yeah. Never know. Amon-Ra St. Brown is happy for Ben Johnson and his opportunity to coach the Bears, but he does plan on beating him twice a year. So during his podcast, St. Brown shared that he spoke to Johnson and they had some friendly banter on the phone.
Yeah. And so everybody always is like, you know, the familiarity that Ben has with, you know, this defense and this offense, what's he going to tell his defensive coordinator, whoever that ends up being? The familiarity runs both ways.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, I'm going to have you up. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Basketball fans will see a familiar face when the NBA returns to NBC. Mike Tirico has been announced as the lead play-by-play voice when NBC's coverage of the NBA returns for the 25-26 season. So he says that he couldn't be more thrilled about returning courtside to call games. So
that's awesome. He's a great broadcaster. Everybody knows him, obviously, with the Sunday Night Football, and obviously he's a Michigander, Metro Detroiter. That's awesome news.
Very, very cool. McDonald's is kicking off 2025 with the return of some iconic Happy Meal toys that fans can't get enough of. It's funny, when I was thinking of this, I'm like, ooh, what are they? What are these iconic toys? And then I found out they're Pokemon Happy Meals. Cool. Oh. I know a lot of people are into Pokemon, and it's been around for a long time.
I never understood that from the moment it took off. It just seems weird.
But that was in my, like, as a kid. Like, that was super big when I was in, like, elementary school.
Were you a Pokemon collector?
Like the little Game Boy, and you'd play the games?
You're weird.
Oh, yeah. But everybody did at that age.
I mean, come on. I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, they're rolling out nationwide.
Everyone was doing it.
For a limited time only, and each Happy Meal includes a Pokemon trading card game booster pack featuring 4 of 15 available Pokemon TCG cards, a Pokemon poster, and 1 sticker sheet to decorate said poster.
Kindergarten Jim loved Pokemon.
Yeah, you're going for the Happy Meal today, aren't you?
That's right. On the way home, it's Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the Thursday touchdown. We've got stories about the Lions, the playoffs, and more. It's 97.1. We've got the two grand slam this morning coming up at 7:25. Your chance to win $2,000. Dear John is going to be bumped up today. Normally at 9 o'clock, we're going to do it at 7:35 because Brad Holmes' press conference will be carried live on our show at 9 o'clock today.
Can we call it a special edition?
Special edition of Dear John.
Yeah, early.
The prompts?
Oh, yeah, let's hear these. I haven't got a teaser for the last couple of weeks.
When can I stop paying?
Okay.
Sending a message.
Ooh.
Rebellious daughter.
Ha! 7:35. The kids won't be in the car. I can say whatever I want at that point.
And if we have time, there's one that I saw on TikTok, Naked and Unafraid, that I'd love to get your reaction to. If we have time.
Let's make sure we have time.
Okay, so let's do what we need to do. John, you want to talk about Aaron Glenn leaving and just how important this hire is now for Dan Campbell?
Yeah, because everybody is, a lot of people early on were very concerned about this offense. And when Ben Johnson leaves, because it was so much fun, it was so dynamic, it was so explosive, could it possibly be the same? And now that we're faced with replacing both coordinators, the defense, you know, let's face it, it wasn't great. A lot of it was due to injury. It wasn't sexy. But I do believe, for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about, that the defensive coordinator hire is the biggest hire that Dan Campbell is going to make. Dan is going to have his hands and his fingerprints all over the offense. And I thought Tom brought up an actually great point yesterday. I don't think it happens, but it is possible that Dan says, you know what, with as much as I've learned and I've grown as a coach, I'm going to be the play caller. And he could promote Hank Fraley to offensive coordinator, but it would be Dan Campbell calling the plays on game day. I don't know that I like it, but it could be a possibility. So defensively, I think there is, this defense has been built to this point, and we heard from Dan Campbell. He wants a guy that's going to be aggressive. It's going to play a lot of man coverage. That's the style of defense he wants to pair with his offense. So does that eliminate Robert Saleh? And I know with the Jets, he developed some more tendencies with man coverage, but he also had Sauce Gardner. I don't know that he would look at this defense and say, you know, if Carlton Davis, you know, is back, Amik Robertson, you know, and the entire group back there, that he has the same playmakers that he had with the Jets to go man. Now he may look at the pass rush with Za'Darius, and he may get some assurances from Brad Holmes that we're gonna add a pass rusher, whether it's in free agency or in the draft, or we're gonna add a defensive tackle. I know there was a conversation yesterday had because of the whole Mel Kiper draft, first mock draft that came out. They were doing these guys are left on the board. Who do you want? A lot of people were talking about Kenneth Grant. I'm not going to go that far yet, but you could add a defensive tackle alongside Aleem McNeil. DJ Reader's only 1 year contract.
Yep.
But without getting too far in the weeds in terms of the personnel, you're going to get Hutch back. You're going to get a lot of these guys back healthy. I think the defensive coordinator hire, because the offense is still going to be a top-level offense, you've got to be able to have a defense that complements it. And I'm not talking, you don't have to have, it would be great to have a top five defense paired with a top five offense. You're talking about, look out. But who are some of the candidates, and does it fit with Dan Campbell's leadership style in regards to, Aaron Glenn, we know he's a strong personality. He's also knows exactly what he wants to do on defense. They work together previously, so they knew that they could work together here. But when you hire a strong personality and it's somebody that you haven't worked with before, it doesn't always work out.
The defensive coordinator hire is so important. I think there's a chance they promote internally offensively. Do you want to have two first-time coordinators? Probably not. I would be curious to see who's on Dan Campbell's list of external candidates. You know, one that really stands out to me is Dennis Allen. And I know what you're saying. Wait, wasn't that rumored to be Ben Johnson's defensive coordinator? Well, if the ink isn't dry, and it's not, they interviewed Aubrey Pleasant for their defensive coordinator job yesterday. I don't know if that's a Rooney Rule requirement or if it's serious consideration. Either way, Dan Campbell could say, Dennis Allen worked with me in New Orleans. Dan Campbell could say, Dennis Allen was Aaron Glenn's boss with the New Orleans Saints. They had four straight years of a top 10 defense. Not a good head coach, Dennis Allen, but a very good defensive coordinator. That would be great. Hey, Ben, you're not entitled to Dennis Allen. I've worked with him longer. Our team's better. Dennis, who do you want to coach for? I think that would be a really interesting move.
I think it would be. We talk about the rivalry that is between, obviously, Chicago and Detroit, but it's also going to be amped up a little bit more because your OC is now their head coach. And could this be a steal? All right. You thought you were going to get down at Dennis Allen? Not so fast, my friend. All of a sudden, hey, he's in Detroit. And I think that would be very interesting. Dennis Allen would definitely be on the list. I think he's got to be interviewed. And Kelvin Shepard will certainly You know, I mean, he's been living this interview for the past, 4 years? Mm-hmm. And so he's a guy that would be at the top of the list as well if you're going to promote from within. There's a couple other guys. We talked about Robert Saleh. And I'm curious your thoughts first before I got two more guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the Saleh thing. Is he the lead candidate? It's the guy most people are talking about because, hey, Dearborn native.
Yeah.
You know, obviously from the area.
Interviewed for the head coaching job along with Dan Campbell. Didn't get it.
There's a couple things. One, Saleh, when he was the DC with the Niners, they hardly ever blitzed. I mean, they had Bosa. They had a great D-line, right. A bunch of first-rounders. They didn't necessarily need to. They also didn't blitz a lot in New York. It's not a bad thing. It's just philosophically a little different in addition to being a little more of a zone guy historically, recently a man coverage guy. He also may get a head coaching job. Like Jacksonville is a disaster, yeah. But they finally fired Trent Baalke and they need someone to take that job. Sure. Saleh, I think for a lot of people, is the lead candidate. Dennis Allen, someone to watch. You got two more names. Can you give them us after the update?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Look at that. We'll get to it next. 97.1. Aaron Glenn, officially the Jets head coach. The Lions will have to replace both the offensive and defensive coordinators. And John, you have said that defensive coordinator hire is more important. It's the hire for Dan Campbell. We've thrown out some names. You got a few more you want to mix in.
Well, yeah, and part of the reason, they're going to operate a little bit more independently than the offensive coordinator will. So you're going to have to trust a little bit more that the guy that you bring in is going to be the leader that you need him to be defensively. He's going to have the concepts that you want to have defensively and also going to, you know, is going to be productive defensively. So we talked about Calvin Shepard on the, as an internal hire promotion. Dennis Allen, who's a guy that he's worked with in New Orleans, has head coaching experience, has been very productive as a defensive coordinator. Robert Saleh, same thing. The other two guys, and brace yourself,
oh, boy.
There's a guy who interviewed this year for the Colts defensive coordinator job, Cincy's defensive coordinator job, Atlanta. It's been reported that he's interviewed for both all three of those. Did not get it. Wink Martindale.
Man coverage. Aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, it could fit. Now, the question is going to be, would he fit temperament-wise? And because he's a very...
Surly.
Surly is
that's a polite word.
Great way to put it. And maybe that's what you need.
Yeah.
Is a surly individual that's, you know, headstrong, stubborn, going to get it done. Now, he obviously got it done later in the year for Michigan than he did early on in the year. It took a little bit of an adjustment on his part, knowledge of the players. And so that's a name that he may consider interviewing. The other one was in division. Bad head coach.
Oh, no.
Calls a good defense. Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
And it's you can't argue with what he did as the DC for the Indianapolis Colts when he was the DC there. So that's what got him the job as the head coach for the Bears. Now, again, weirdo as a head coach. In-game decisions, you know, clock management, all that's not great as a head coach. I've mentioned this before where I've been around guys that have been really good coordinators and everybody eventually finds their level that they can rise to. And everybody wants to test the next level to see if, hey, can I be a head coach? Can I be a coordinator? Some are position coaches, some are coordinators, and some are head coaches. He's not a head coach. He is a good coordinator.
You're right. I mean, it's a completely different skill set. Maybe people don't realize this. Like Dan Campbell was never a coordinator. Clearly a leader of men.
Yeah.
Clearly knows football, knows motivation. Head coach. I don't know. People wonder, is Ben Johnson going to be Adam Gase 2.0? Is he a coordinator, not a coach? A lot of these guys fail for a variety of reasons. Yeah. And it doesn't mean they don't know football. Like Dennis Allen is not a good head coach. He's failed with the Raiders and the Saints, but he runs a defense. Robert Saleh. It's weird what happened with the Jets, but I think we know he's a good defensive coordinator, even if he's not a good head coach. And could you make that same argument for Eberflus? I suppose you could. I just remember when he was the DC with the Colts, which was where he was before he was with Chicago. A lot of zone. I don't have the numbers, but I remember them being a zone-heavy team. It would feel like Dan Campbell would be handing the keys to his defense to someone who wants to do something very different. I don't see him doing that.
Again, the best coaches are the ones that will be able to use the talent that they are given and adjust their concepts, still, you know, being true to themselves, but adjust their concepts to the players that they are coaching on the roster. And is, would it be too much of a shift for him? Is Dan Campbell, even though he said, yeah, we want to run more man coverage, but we also need to be a little bit better when we do run zone.
Correct.
Is there a sweet spot? Is there a mix? I think, I think Dennis Allen is the best mix.
I do too. Do you think he has already spoken for that? It's a matter of he's going to be. No, you think he's very much available?
Oh, 100%. If he was spoken for, he would be. If he was spoken for in Detroit or in Chicago, he'd already be there.
Mm-hmm. And again, they interviewed Aubrey Pleasant yesterday. If I was Dan Campbell, you'd have a direct connection. You were on staff with Dennis Allen in New Orleans. He was the DC when Dan Campbell was on staff under Sean Payton when Aaron Glenn was there. The familiarity with one another.
The division.
Because
you can't necessarily argue. I mean, Chicago has had a good defense. And Chicago's defense has given Detroit some fits.
At times, yeah. Yeah, I would tell Dennis Allen, hey, it's your choice, bud. You can coach the Bears who were in last place, or you can coach the Lions who were in first place.
One seed.
Where do you want to coach?
And you could come in and after a guy in Aaron Glenn, who you got to believe some of the concepts are going to be very similar because, you know, Aaron Glenn, yeah, he played, he's got his own concepts, but he also, you know, coached under Dennis Allen. So is it possible that you just get the OG?
Dennis Allen's defenses, just to put some numbers on it. In 2016, the Saints were 31st in points allowed. 2017, they went to 10, 14, 13, and then 5, 4, 9, 8. Top 10, four straight years there at the end. This guy gets the most out of his defense. That's all we're talking about here. I'm not asking Dennis Allen to game plan the entire opponent throughout the week. I'm not asking him to lead the team. I just need him to run the defense. That to me would be my number one candidate. I know Robert Saleh's the local guy. I certainly wouldn't be disappointed.
No.
But those are guys I think we're talking about here.
Do you also, is there a concern that he would go with the comfortable hires and that the comfortable hire would be Dennis Allen defensively and Pete Carmichael Jr. offensively? A couple of guys that he worked with in New Orleans. Now, they did have success.
Yeah.
And in their respective positions as coordinators, but would you be concerned that he'd be too familiar that he would be going safe with the comfortable and safe choice?
I think that's a fair criticism. I do, but I think they're a 15-win football team. It's not like they want to reinvent the wheel either. I think you want guys you can trust. I think you want guys that you're on the same page with. You don't want to take a step back. You don't want to have to reintroduce concepts that are foreign to the team. If you want to sprinkle some wrinkles in, I think that's healthy. Campbell spoke about that. Some tweaks will naturally happen with just new people calling the plays. You know, they may have a preference on a second and long that's slightly different than the previous guy. I think some of that will naturally happen. What I don't think you want to do is go way outside yourself for the sake of being different when you're a 15-win football team and you've built a hell of a staff and a philosophy and a mentality. So I think that would be a criticism I just wouldn't feel that way.
I wouldn't feel that way either. And honestly, I mean, familiarity, I think, does breed success. When you know, when Pete Carmichael Jr., if he would be the guy offensively, is very familiar with Dan Campbell, and I think that communication would be very important of this is what I want. Let's get back on task. Let's refocus. Let's get back to what we know this offense is. I think that's an easy conversation to have. I also think that would be an easy conversation to have with Dennis Allen. Hey, this is why I hired you. This is what you are. This is the directive of what I want done.
I think Dennis Allen would be a great candidate. I think that if you rank the guys right now, it's Robert Saleh, who's probably going to become a head coach, and then Dennis Allen. And because Dennis Allen to me is the defensive coordinator version of a Norv Turner, who was a great offensive coordinator, but wasn't a good head coach. I think Dennis Allen has acquired that. He's kind of gone under the radar because of the teams he's been with. But I actually think, I know Jim, you scoffed a little at Eberflus, that maybe that's what Eberflus is. He's just a really good DC, but he's not head coaching material.
Mm-hmm.
I threw this name out to John, and I think it's a total pipe dream. But he didn't dismiss the idea, at least at its core, of terms of his coaching talent. What if Pete Carroll doesn't get a head coaching job? He wants back in the game so much. I just wonder if he doesn't get a head coaching job, if that kind of ego could settle for this. But you saw it with Chip Kelly in college. He just said, screw it.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to be an OC.
Okay. If you're doing that, then why not interview Bill Belichick for defensive coordinator?
No, because he's the head coach right now. What I'm saying is Chip Kelly said, screw it. He wanted in the game so much, but he just wanted to be a coach. He just wanted to coach. You're not being as nice about this as you were off the air. I'm a swinger, man. I swing for fences.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There's a drop for you.
Can I go on the cruise with you next month?
This is my square.
Is it contagious?
No stone unturned.
Clearly.
I would pay Robert Saleh ridiculous money like the Bucks did with Liam Cullen yesterday and just say, come be our DC.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Dave in Berkeley, you've heard this conversation. Where are you at?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Love the Pete Carroll idea. Hadn't even considered that. Great energy guy. But for me, it's Robert Saleh 100%. Dennis Allen, number two. I hate the idea of hiring from within only because I feel like I don't need him surrounded by yes men. I feel like Dan Campbell makes a lot of risky, stubborn, and frankly dumb decisions, and he needs somebody that can stand up next to him and kind of keep him in check.
Yes, the more feedback, the more input that you have of guys that have been in that decision-making process. Dennis Allen, obviously, as a head coach, been in that decision-making process. Pete Carroll, same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we need more brains, less balls.
Getting back to Pete Carroll, you would have to, if Pete Carroll can come to the realization that he's not going to get another head coaching job, and whether it's he's too old or somebody just doesn't want to go down that route and they want to make a commitment to a guy that they think is going to be there for 5-6 years. Pete Carroll's in great health. He might be able to do that. They just don't want to deal with him. And if he can come to the realization that, okay, that is not who I'm going to be, but I want to be back in the game. I want to be coaching. I want to have fun again. I am missing what makes me who I am, and that's a football coach. If he has that desire and he could come in and you could get some assurances that, hey, you're not going to be undermining me with the media, you're not going to be undermining me with anything else, then I would kick the tires on it. I don't know that I love that, though.
Look, there's a lot of names floating around, and Campbell said he's not going to be in a hurry. He wants to do this the right way. We got a lot coming up. We got the 2 Grand Slam at 7:25. Dear John, special edition this week at 7:35. And before the hour ends, we know that Heather's husband, Colin, is a giant Lions fan. Mm-hmm. This loss has driven him to do something, I would say, questionable. We'll get to that. It's 97.1.
Hey, a personal injury attorney of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Femenino has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femenino. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell them to call David Femenino at 855-65-CRASH or go to the website getdavidgetpaid.com. That number and website again is 855-65-CRASH or go to getdavidgetpaid.com.
Hey, before we get to the 2 Grand Slam, Heather, what's going on in the news?
Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson has announced her plans to run for governor, making her the first major Democratic candidate to enter the race to replace Governor Whitmer. So in an email announcing her run, Benson said that she has a track record of delivering results to improve the lives of Michigan residents. She says, quote, "I am running for governor because our state needs a bold leader who will save Michiganders time and money, deliver real results that improve everyone's lives, protect our residents, and that's what I've done my entire career." So she was elected as Michigan's Secretary of State in 2018, and then before that, she served as the Dean of Wayne State University's Law School. Starting on February 21st, so right around the corner, a little less than a month from now, the minimum wage for tipped workers is going to increase, or is expected to increase. And some people are really excited for this. They think, okay, these tipped workers are going to make even more money. They're going to make a higher wage plus their tips. However, there are some restaurant owners that are worried they just won't be able to sustain this hike.
Right.
And some restaurants are now going to be implementing a 20% service charge to prepare for the change. Some could implement maybe a different percentage, but 20% was this one particular restaurant. They said they had two options. They either cut their staff or they implement some sort of charge. And he said, "I don't have the option to cut staff. I need all my staff to run my business, right? I can't cut them. So in order to support them, I'm going to implement this fee." Some people have said, "Well, even with a fee, I'll still tip." Other people are saying, "Well, the 20% is like my tip.
Yeah.
Like on top of my bill, that's already what I would tip.
Can you really afford to tip 40%? Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow.
So,
and I get it. A lot of these restaurants are on slim margins to begin with, but you got to be very careful. If you raise your prices or start slapping on fees, people are going to stop showing up altogether.
Right. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see. Yeah, apparently, there's still a group of people trying to hopefully... Well, for them, stop this increase from going into effect. So we will see. Post Malone has teamed up with Oreo to create his own cookie, and it features the first ever twisted cream center. So the cream is a salted caramel and a shortbread, and then it's sandwiched between like a regular chocolate cookie on one side and then a golden cookie on the other. And each cookie is then going to have like one of nine embossed designs on the top that will kind of like be a nod towards his music. Some could be a sunflower, a knight, a saw blade, a pickup truck, a butterfly. And Oreo says the limited edition cookies will be released on shelves February 3rd, but they will be available for presale at Oreo.com on Monday.
Mm. Seems cool, right? I mean, his music is
sure a
blend of every. He's done country, he's done rap, he's done hip hop. So yeah, makes sense.
Who doesn't love Oreos, right?
Yeah, like, there you go.
it's all good. It's a good collab.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. So this could be an NHL first. The Edmonton Oilers scored a goal all thanks to a nacho platter.
I heard about this.
So the Oilers were playing at home against the Washington Capitals. And this is on Tuesday night when a fan threw their nacho tray onto the ice, right? And moments later, Corey Perry slapped a puck past the Capitals goalie, Logan Thompson. And after the game, after the goal, Thompson did admit that the nachos distracted him.
Basically, it's here comes. Oh wait, is that nachos? Those look good.
I'm hungry. Maybe.
Oh, you got me.
I'm surprised he admitted it because I'm sure he's gonna get some flack. You gotta lock in.
Oh, yeah. His locker's gonna be loaded with nachos.
Yes.
What I think of with nachos, I think of Prince Fielder with the Tigers getting into the stands and then taking a nacho for himself.
Me too, for sure. Ref said they didn't blow the whistle because the nachos didn't technically interfere with gameplay. So, one of the two smaller towers of the Rensen is headed for auction. So later this year, it could be yours. The 21-story tower, 600, is mostly empty. There are still about three or four businesses that are inside of it, but it's going to be auctioned off March 17th through the 19th. Starting bid is at $2.75 million. It was built in 1981, has different ownership, obviously, than the original five towers. Those belong to General Motors.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what will happen. It contains 334,000 square foot. It is 11% occupied right now.
Jeez. So much office space mm-hmm. around. I mean, it's not just in Detroit, everywhere that there's nobody in.
Abandoned.
Yep.
You guys want to give away some money?
I sure do.
Let's do it.
I really hope we can give away some money, and it would be awesome to give away $2,000. We haven't done that in a while. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if our contestant can get them all right.
Michael in Romulus, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Michael, have you played before?
No, this is my first time.
All right.
All right, here we go.
This is going to be fun. You know the rules, right?
I think so, yeah.
All right, well, you want to answer as quickly as possible. If you don't know one, though, you can pass, and if there's time, we're going to get back to it. Hopefully, you can get them all right. So, Michael, your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Who do the Red Wings play tonight?
Pass.
Who led the NFL in interceptions this season?
Pass.
Zoe Saldana played this character in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
The Rock.
Who is currently ranked number one in men's college basketball?
Oh, pass.
Who scored the first touchdown for the Lions last Saturday night?
Gibbs.
Is Sheboygan located in Lower or Upper Peninsula of Michigan?
Lower Peninsula.
Who was the 44th president of the United States?
Barack Obama.
Who is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Pass.
This musical group had the 1977 hit Night Fever.
Pass.
Who won the Heisman Trophy last month?
Man, I forgot his name. Pass.
So, we got to go to the judges. What are we doing with
the peninsula?
The peninsula. No good.
Oh,
no good. Just outside
Michael,
the upright.
You would have wished I was a judge because I would have given it to you.
You said upper first.
This is the guardian's rule.
Oh, man.
So you got two.
$50.
All right. Well, I thank you guys.
Hey, thanks for playing. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, appreciate you listening. And we'll put you on hold. Stay there. We'll make sure you get your $50. Not nothing. It's $50 you didn't have when you woke up today.
Yep.
It is.
Yep. So let's get clarification on the rule.
I don't like always being made the bad guy in these situations. And Greg, I looked at Greg, but clearly in the rules, and we put these online too as well, if you say something wrong first, you're wrong. You don't get to correct yourself. It's clearly stated, but nice Judge Heather would have given him a break.
I would have.
Well,
I
you're felt... making us look bad, like the bad guys.
Well, you kind of are.
Well, if you're simply following rules. I know this
like I
generation
can
can't follow rules.
Are there
but
for a reason.
I can hear it in Michael's voice that he did know it. As soon as he said upper, he was like, oh,
was
no. I don't think he was.
Yeah, but you got to be careful.
It doesn't matter. He got it wrong.
You got to be careful because otherwise you just say both and you'll get it every time if it's an either or.
Right? Yeah. I get it. Maybe I felt bad.
No false.
Because he passed so many times, so maybe I just was like, let's just
Greg,
throw him alone. I get it.
Greg, with these restaurants now having these service charges that Heather had renewed, should we give it to him so that he can go out to eat? No.
Pay for the tip.
It's done. It's over. He got two.
Let's go through it, though. This was not an easy one.
No, it was hard.
I know we beat people up and they don't get enough of them right. This was a tough one. Who do the Wings play tonight?
It would be the Canadians.
I don't think it's top of mind for people. I'm just being honest. And I love the Wings. I don't know that.
You're going.
I'm going to be there, but I don't know the average person is dialed into the opponent night in and night out for this hockey team. Who led the NFL in interceptions this season?
I thought this one was one of the more gettable. It's Kirby Joseph.
We were looking for Gamora for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I don't even know what he said.
He said The Rock.
Yeah.
The number one ranked team in men's college basketball. I don't think it's on anybody's radar. Auburn.
Yeah.
Who scored the first touchdown Saturday night? Gibbs was the answer. Sheboygan is in the Lower Peninsula. Barack Obama, 44th president. He got that right. Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Bucks. The Bee Gees had the 77 hit Night Fever. And the Heisman Trophy winner last month was Travis Hunter.
Yes.
Your next chance to win is Tuesday at 7:25. Coming up next, special edition of Dear John. Before the hour ends, I want to know if Colin is alone or if this is common Lion fan behavior as you deal with the loss last weekend. It's 97.1. All right, DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. You want to send in yours.
All right, John, let's start with this first one. Excuse me. When can I stop paying? Dear John, I recently started seeing this girl I met on the apps, and we've hit it off great. She's funny, cool, and actually looks like her pictures. We've been on 3 dates so far. A dinner, ice skating, and a movie night back in my place, if you know what I mean. Oh. For each of them, I foot the bill, including the movie we rented plus takeout. I know as a guy I'm expected to pay and have no issue with it, but until when? How long do I continue paying, and how do I bring it up without becoming kind of off-putting?
Until you die.
Forever.
Yeah, forever. Get used to it. It's just, call it old school, whatever. I don't care. It's if you go, unless she offers or she says, hey, let's go here and this one is on me, or I'm going to treat, or let's go Dutch, whatever. That's part of your responsibility, I believe. And it's, trust me, the bills are only going to get higher the further down the road this goes. That's just how I would operate.
Well, I'm glad you said it first, because I do agree with you. I mean, I do think things have changed a lot lately. I don't know, I haven't been on a date in a long time, but I do think things are a little different where the females are offering to pay as well or split the bill. I think that's kind of changing a little bit. Also, maybe when you're like really serious, you guys are living together, you've kind of like intermixed your lives. But then typically when you're married, your money is intermixing as well. Maybe it'd be a little different.
If it gets more serious, it's a conversation you have to have regarding finances.
Sure.
It's one that you have to have before. I don't know if you want to have it before, maybe you do before you pop the question. Like, all of these things need to be discussed because they become major issues when you are married.
Yes.
I do think it's a gray area the longer it goes. The first dates, obviously, the guy's going to has to pay for it. Second, third, he's still kind of in the early courting stages of this. At some point, though, she's working. She should offer. Like, that's a good gesture at some point to offer. If you've been taken out on 5, 10, 15 dates, hey, I got this one, or I'll pick up the ice cream or something, right?
But you, if you're in that position, are you going to say, hey, this is your turn?
It's now.
Awkward, right?
You pay.
Right.
It's awkward.
I think you wait for her to approach the subject. And at that point, if she cares... Like, if this is a real relationship,
she'll offer. That might be your giveaway. Like, hey, if she's not as into this as you are, that could be one of the tells.
It depends on the type of individual you're looking for as well. Do you want somebody that is just looking to be provided for, or do you want an independent, strong individual? Mm-hmm. And that independent, strong individual is going to say, you know what? Hey, you don't have to continue to take me out. We can do this together.
Sending a message. Dear John, the last time we got some snow, I came home from work to find my sidewalk and driveway had already been plowed.
Oh, wow.
When I got inside, I thanked my wife. She said she didn't do it. The neighbor did it along with his own space. I said, sweet, less work for us. But she was embarrassed and thinks he was sending a message because I didn't do it quick enough. For context, the snow fell overnight. I was running late for work and was going to do it when I got home. Was I really too slow? Or do I have the best neighbor ever?
You might have the best neighbor ever. And it might just be, it sounds like this is, you know, maybe a little bit new to the neighborhood, or maybe your neighbor's new to the neighborhood and they were just doing something nice. I think maybe a plate of cookies, just a little thank you, recognizing that he did it, because then all of a sudden you can gauge the reaction, the personal reaction of, oh, well, he was actually doing this because he was nice. Or you'll be able to gauge the reaction of, you know, maybe you should be doing this a little earlier.
I think he was doing it to be nice.
I was actually, question for you guys.
Yeah.
This morning when I left.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I actually left a little bit early. I was up, just ready to go. I walked out. I saw it snowed more. We're new to the neighborhood. I wanted to shovel.
Okay.
Would it have been too early to be making the noise? Because shoveling is not a quiet affair. I mean, I'm not going to fire up a snowblower. Would it have been too early to shovel the driveway?
I don't think so.
I left at just before 4 o'clock.
It's too early, but you have to do it. So it's understandable. He can't be mad at you.
Yeah, I didn't know there was rules to shoveling. Well, I would say go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that. But for this snow, I would say use a broom.
Oh, we this had is a dust. Lot of snow.
You got, what, 4 or 5 inches, Heather?
No, but more
That's
than...
That's a lot of snow.
No, but I meant more than if
I've used a broom with like 2 inches and just go.
If it's not a wet snow. No, this one, our driveway would have required a shovel. I'm not going to use a broom on it.
Are you just not a broomer? Is that not manly enough?
I don't know that I've ever. I mean, maybe I got out the. Could I have gotten out the blower?
Oh, you're not a broomer. You're a blower.
Heather, the next one's Rebellious Daughter.
Yes, Rebellious Daughter. So, dear John, my daughter and I have been fighting a lot since I divorced her mom. She's at that age range where everything sets her off. The latest battle centers around the fact that I went to Michigan. She started wearing OSU gear around the house and celebrated their national championship like she was a lifelong fan. She tells me she wants to apply to the Ohio State University. I actually don't mind if she goes, but I think just doing it in spite of me is a bad reason to pick a college. How should I handle this?
Here is the bill for your share of the heat. Here's your cell phone bill. Here is your part of rent for the mortgage. And if you want to go to, you know, the Ohio State, get a job.
So if one of your kids wanted to go there, you'd make them pay their way as opposed to helping the other kids out?
It all depends on the reason. If they're simply doing it because they're mad at me, first of all, that's a very poor decision to make. They're showing poor decisions. So how do you teach a kid how to make better decisions? You put some responsibility on them.
This last one, Naked and Unafraid. And I, full disclosure, this was not sent to us. I saw this on TikTok, but I need to get John's reaction.
Okay.
So it's written, Dear John, I play beer league hockey. It's co-ed. And we have one woman on the team. She's a good player. She's a good hang. Last Saturday after the game, we're peeling off her gear, hopping in the shower, and she walks into the bathroom. Not just to say goodnight, she proceeds to shower with us, fully nude, like it's nothing. Safe to say the boys were caught off guard. No idea where to look. By the way, she's 27, athletic, and frankly, quite attractive. Am I weird for thinking this was a wild move? Let me know. I'm still processing this.
It seems a little bit on the wild side, yes. I know everybody wants to be comfortable with all these things. I would not be comfortable with that. I'm sure you're talking about some married men in there as well. I think their wives probably would not be comfortable with them showering in a locker room with another woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where do you look? So that's always the, you know, like, you're not looking as to begin with, if it's right. A bunch of dudes, shouldn't, you're not looking. Yeah. So, you know, line of sight is probably not the issue, but that kind of is the, you know, do I stare at the ceiling? What do I do? Because my first question is, I'm sure everybody who was listening was going to wonder, was, you know, how hot is she?
Apparently,
kind of smoking hot. Yeah.
Heather?
Wild move. Totally wild move, right? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What is she hoping for? Like, what's her purpose? What does she want out of all this?
I don't want to make any assumptions, but if she is that comfortable doing that, maybe she's not into dudes.
Yeah. Is it a power thing?
Maybe,
like, she's
not, or maybe she's really into dudes and she's hoping. I don't know. Like, what is it? What?
I don't know. So, I mean, is there a single guy on the team? Maybe he should, if so inclined, ask her out.
You can't make a move in the shower while you're both naked.
Well, no,
right?
That's not what I'm talking about.
Afterwards,
you want to go grab dinner and, you know, gauge the reaction. Maybe she is into dudes. Maybe it's a great opportunity.
Maybe she's like, you creep. But then it's like mixed signals, maybe.
You creep.
You're
the creep.
Who's the creep here, John?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
No, that's a bold move there.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, that's Dear John. It's 97.1.
Hey, we're talking about working out. Hey, I don't know. I know they have separate locker rooms at Planet Fitness, and it is a judgment-free zone. So maybe you do whatever you want there. But here's the thing I do know about it. It's a great value in their membership right now. If you want to look to get stronger this year, this is the year to do it. They've got a lot of options. $1 down, $15 a month gets you in the door. If you want a little bit more, they've got the Black Card membership, which gives you access to over 2,600 clubs nationwide. If you travel, you always want to have somewhere to work out. Planet Fitness is the company to go with. They've got over 50 in Detroit, 15 in Grand Rapids, 6 in Toledo, and they've also updated a lot of their machines. They've got a lot of variety in how you want to work out. Free weights, cable towers, Smith machines, upper and lower body strength machines, a lot in the cardio department, treadmills, bikes, Stairmasters, they've got it all. And it is so easy to join. If you're over 18, all you got to do is check out where they're at, planetfitness.com. We'll stop by the local club to find more information. You can find hours and amenities and locations on that same website. Find your nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. That's Planet Fitness.
Oh, lots of people with lots to say following Dear John. We are going to get to Lions fans and how they're coping with the loss on Saturday, including Colin.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
I wonder if what he's doing is relatable or not. We'll get to that. But first, some of the ticket text. John, are your neighbors' houses made of paper? Who could hear you shoveling this morning through their walls?
Oh, I'd hear my neighbor if they shoveled the way his driveway like backs up to mine. Well, I would hear that.
We've only lived there for a month too, and I just don't know if, like, it's not a quiet process, and it's not a huge driveway, but
I think it's one of those things where we understand you have to shovel your driveway. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. If someone gets annoyed by it, so be it. It's when you get up and have to go to work. You're not running a snowblower. Right?
Yeah.
Or mowing your lawn at 6 in the morning when people are trying to sleep in the summer.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're all right if you would have. This one says, I shovel the driveway at 5 a.m. It's a competition with the neighbors. If you're not first, you're last. Lazy people sleep.
Yeah.
For the guy who had his neighbor take care of the sidewalk and the driveway, buy him a 6-pack of his preferred beverage as a thank you.
So you'd have to understand and know what that is. Yeah. Then you'd probably already know the personality of your neighbor.
Yeah. This person says too early. After work's fine. They didn't wait too long. That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying he was referring to my shoveling in the morning.
Well, maybe he was. Yeah. It's just too early after work.
Well, no. Some people want to shovel before they drive on it.
Right. Yes, which is what I wanted to do. Yes. I ended up not shoveling this morning, so now there's going
to
be...
But are you okay if, like, you woke up today and you go, I didn't have time. I'm going to get to it when I get off work. Are you too late?
People will have driven on it, so now it's too late.
But I'm saying your sidewalk.
We don't have sidewalks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, this one says... sounds like a terrible deal for this guy. Women want traditional treatment, but aren't traditional.
I think there are still a lot of women that even they may not say it out loud, but they do want some tradition in their relationships.
Sure.
And if you are if you're asking somebody out on a date, I just believe that the guy should pay for it.
When
you get to a certain position or a certain status in your relationship, then you can have that conversation.
You can figure out what works for you guys. Yeah. Heather, you said you went to a date one time where the guy didn't pay?
Yeah, it was, I went on a date a long time ago.
Not Colin.
No, it was not Colin. We went to the restaurant, a nice restaurant, ordered a really nice meal, bottle of wine, and then went for the bill to come, and oh my gosh,
he forgot his
wallet. I was a teacher at the time, and it was a very expensive bill. Not that... I just wasn't expecting to pay the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if I knew that going into it, I maybe would have went somewhere different or ordered a different entree.
He picked the place.
Yeah.
He picked you up and then didn't pay.
Yeah. And I didn't want to be embarrassed by that. So I was like, okay,
I got
in my car. I mean, what was I going to do? Just walk out.
Was there a second date?
There was.
Oh, okay.
Did he pay for that one?
He did.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer first date's mandatory for a guy.
Yeah.
Probably the first few.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say there, and you surprised me that you went on a second date, was that if things don't go well from the guy's perspective, do they change their mind on how this is going to get paid? Like, if they think it's going nowhere, I've never done that. I'm just saying,
I'm sure guys have, but
guys probably do that. Or they just go to the bathroom and leave.
Oh, but that reflects so poorly on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, I think that's where you were going. Like, that you're kind of a...
Oh,
it says a lot about you
as
a person.
Jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you go, she's not as hot as I thought she was. The conversation's not very good. You want to split this? Actually, can you pay for it? I left my wallet at home.
Oh, gosh. I hope that wasn't the case.
Oh, no, I don't think.
Oh, she sucks. I don't have a wallet. Sorry.
No, I think he simply just forgot his wallet. He was probably mortified as well. Like, how do I, he was probably stressed at some point. Oh, wait a second. I don't have my wallet. How am I going to?
Or was he testing you?
It could
Are you
have
just
been.
Here for a free meal?
That's what I start to think,
too
right?
much into it, yes. Dude just forgot his wallet. Should have called a buddy and said, hey, can you bring me a couple $100 worth of cash?
Yeah.
The guy should ask his date to play credit card roulette. 50-50 shot to not pay the bill. Makes it interesting. Jason in a car.
First date? I don't know about that.
No.
I mean, maybe by like, because his point was, when do we, maybe that's right. a fun way of like, hey, on the fifth date, maybe you see how she reacts to it.
No.
John, how would you react? You're on a date first time and things have gone well and you're getting ready to pay it. And she goes, no, I'm paying it, and just grabs a receipt. I would love to see your reaction. I think you would be beside yourself almost.
I would be uncomfortable. I mean, it just because I'm a more traditional individual, right. And I would think that I would be paying for it. And yeah, I mean, that would be. But I also think that how the conversation goes while you're at dinner, like if she is a strong individual and that happened, I still would be uncomfortable, but I might understand it more. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Be very awkward for me.
Yeah.
That hockey woman is awesome, signed Jason in Royal Oak. Certain films start out that way, signed another ticket texter. Bush or no Bush, Sean the mailman.
Come on. You can't read that out loud.
Yes, you can.
I'm Ron Burgundy. This is just what was put in front of my face.
Oh, my.
Far worse things have been said on these airways.
Sure.
I don't know that we're trying to top those things, but anyway, Heather, Colin is a big Lions fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it all season, like obsessed, right? Like watching games multiple times. We'll watch it together, and then he'll be watching it the next day. Oh, I mean, Dan Campbell was on my TV all of the time, right? I'm getting into all these podcasts, whatever. Huge fan. Obviously, super disappointed with how the season ended. The next day, Sunday morning, I also, you know, the kids went to bed before the game started. I had Brooks in this like Lions onesie for his PJs. And Colin got Brooks out of bed and immediately he put him in real clothes. Like, had to get him out of that one. Couldn't see him in this Lion onesie. Emily had a Lions shirt on, got her out of that. And the first thing he said was, so we need to go shopping. I said, oh, okay. He's like, I need some new clothes. Because all he wears
is Lions gear.
And I mean, that is for his birthday, that's what I got him. For Christmas, that's what I got him. I mean, that's all he wears.
Yeah.
Lions hoodies, Lions shirts, Lions zip up, Lions hat. He's got Lions socks, like everything. And now he wants nothing to do with it, right? He does not want to wear anything Lions related or see the kids in it, apparently.
Is that an overreaction? We'll talk about it after the update. It's 97.1. Yes, we will be carrying Brad Holmes live today at 9 o'clock. He will address the Lions fans, sum up the season, and set the tone for the offseason. Stay tuned.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Because it is a tone setter for the offseason.
It is. I mean, how far away does he think they are? Why didn't they progress as far this season? What are some priorities? I think it's going to be fascinating. Of course, we're going to react to it with you guys in the 9 o'clock hour. Heather just shared that Colin, your husband, super Lion fan, has put away the Lions gear right now. Can't wear it. Doesn't want the kids wearing it.
Doesn't want to see it. Doesn't want to be around it. We had our Christmas lights, you know, that were still on. He changed them all to blue and white to keep them up until the Super Bowl. Yeah. And then as soon as we got home, too, and they came on automatically, he's like, oh, gosh, got to turn those off. He wants nothing to do. Like, take down the Lions flag. Let's just rid our house of it for the time being. He needs, you know, somebody called in and said they're going through like the stages of grief. But the guy who called in was like, I've already completed the five stages. I'm good. I'm happy now. Colin is doing the same, but he's only in like stage two, right? Like he has not completed all of them.
It would be the Jansen house would be a hard house for him to be in because Teddy literally wakes up and almost the first words out of his mouth are go Lions. He walks around the house all day. saying, go Lions, go Lions. Go Lions. It's the cutest thing ever. And obviously we have been saying that for some time, and Lisa got him to, you know, be all in. He'll wake up in the morning and run into our room and grab my old Lions helmet and put it on and start saying, go Lions. So here's a way of he's not getting rid of the gear, right? He just isn't going to wear it right now. He needs a little time.
Yes. He'll wear it again when he's ready.
All right, I'll give him another option instead. And I don't know how involved he is in the other sports teams.
I'm not too involved.
I was going to say, because you could just make the transition to, I don't know if the Wings right now would be the, as Costa
makes. Pistons are playing the best.
He could wear some Pistons gear if he wants to still be the Detroit fan, or he could go straight to Tigers gear.
That's the, I've never seen him in Pistons attire or Wings attire.
But does he have Tigers?
He's got some Tigers gear.
All right.
Time he could just go to that.
Fire up Tigers. Let's go. Just transition. Then he can start looking forward to pitchers and catchers. He can start looking forward to spring training. And it's a team that ended the season on a high note, even though they kind of outkicked their coverage. I think that's the path that he should go.
I just didn't know that that's how people would cope with this. Like, I wore a Lions sweatshirt this week. You're still right, a Lions fan.
Oh, see, I'm kind of with Colin. I'm not quite as like Colin, like, but I'm not ready to go. I got some new sweatshirts for Christmas. I've only worn one of them. I'm not ready to go wear. I think I would feel funny if I came in here all decked out in Lions gear right now.
Oh, I would have no problem wearing Lions gear.
I don't think I would.
I really like the stuff Lisa got me. I mentioned it last week. Like, I didn't have any Lions gear. She got me a long sleeve shirt and she got me a hoodie. And I would have no issue showing up on Monday wearing Lions gear.
First text. Wow. Talk about a bandwagon fan.
Ooh.
Says another one, though, says, I had to go back and unlike all the posts I liked on playoff hype videos. Oh, boy, that's excessive.
Yeah.
Says took me
Why
3 days.
Your time.
Says took me 3 days to even listen again to the radio. I can't, going back and unliking videos that you liked last week or the week before, really?
That's a little extreme. Yeah.
I understand people hitting the pause button and just wearing something different. We had one caller that was getting rid of all their gear. To me, that's a bit extreme.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to sell it or get rid of it or donate it.
No, don't do that. I understand, you know, moving on, but I also think it's I would have no issue with it.
Texter says, I don't think it's an overreaction at all. I know anything that reminds me of what happened just brings back the pain all over again.
Yes.
So I get it. Not an overreaction by Colin. I'm in the same boat, trying like hell to shift my energy to the Pistons. This sucks. Took me 3 days before I could put a Lions hat on to go to the store. I mean, this is what people are doing. They can't even bear to wear Lions gear right now.
So this year, they started selling a lot of the Black Lions gear.
Yes.
So wear your Black Lions gear. It would be a sign of mourning.
Yeah, I have one of the, I guess, I've got a Black Lions sweatshirt. And it has the Lions logo, but then on the back it just says Detroit.
Yeah.
So that I could get away with. The other ones I don't think I could wear yet.
Gosh. I thought this was bizarre behavior. To like put your Lions gear in storage.
Well, it reminds him of it. So he just doesn't want to see it right now.
Well, he's not putting it in storage. He's just, it's in the closet. He's not wearing it actively right now.
And it's like he forgot what he used to wear before he wore Lions gear.
Everybody's going to handle it differently. Everyone is going to handle it differently. And there are a lot of people that invested a lot of money in going to games, whether it was the trip down to Indy. Or maybe it was they went out to San Francisco because they wanted to be there when that game happened, even though it wasn't as much riding on it at that time as people had hoped. Or it was season tickets, game tickets, the expense of going to Saturday night's game. If you are in mourning, you might not want to wear your Lions gear.
So the way it lands to me, and I'm not, Colin doesn't feel this way, but it almost feels like you're ashamed of the team. Like, you're not proud to wear the stuff? Is that... Because that's how I feel like I'm not happy with the season. We've talked about it. I feel like it was a disappointment, a waste, a failure, whatever word you want to say. You're still a Lions fan. I'm not ashamed to be a Lions fan. I'd still wear Lions gear.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not ashamed to be a Lion. I mean, he's been a Lions fan since he was born. So, you know, I mean, like, you could, are for life, but...
If you could tell him to get over it, there might be an opportunity for him.
What do you mean?
I haven't been in a sports store yet this week. Some of it might be on sale.
You know what? Where I've seen a lot of it listed, people are selling it on Facebook Marketplace.
They're selling their gear?
Wow.
Yes.
Really? For cheaper.
Well, yeah, I mean, wow. I'm sure it's used and worn, but like
that's bandwagon.
I've seen a lot of Lions gear for sale on Marketplace, more so now after they lost
this
than before.
Your chance now. Get him something, even though it's used. Who cares, right? It might be lightly used. It might be whatever. But stock up the closet because he's going to be back at some point. Colin, come on back, buddy.
You can wash the tears out. It's really not that big a deal.
He'll be back. He just needs a little time. He just needs a little time. Yeah. Okay.
And then when he does come back, you'll have all this new gear for him. At a huge discount.
He doesn't.
You make it sound like he doesn't have clothes that aren't Lions gear.
That's all he wears, you guys.
Well, we know he was obsessed.
It's all he wears.
Maybe that's part of this. So I have a big question. Did this happen last year?
Oh, yeah.
He did? So he stopped wearing?
Oh, it was. I think last year was probably worse than this year.
Okay.
I think it affected
him more. That made that loss worse, then.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if the blowout had anything to do with it. I think you can. I see what Jim's saying in terms of like you're almost ashamed. And then I think, okay, that's probably overreacting. People can deal with things different. I love the fact I noticed you had your Lion sweater on this week, and I was like, good for you, because I'm in that camp. I still wear stuff. I remember the Wings when they lost in the 95 Stanley Cup Final. I bought a hat. I went to the two home games, and it had the Devils logo on it, too. It was Stanley Cup Finals with the two logos. And I wore it after they lost because I like the hat. But I guess people deal with things differently, but... there's nothing to be ashamed of here. I mean, I've actually been thinking when we were doing this topic, like I got over the loss real quick, but I feel there's a significant void right now in my life.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
We had all made plans for Sunday. Like this was something that people were planning on, whether you were going or you were going to be watching it with friends, buddies. Same thing with Super Bowl. We had talked about it, you know, a couple of weeks ago. People were making Super Bowl plans.
Right. We were going to be there in New Orleans.
I think for me, because they really got their butt kicked Saturday, mm-hmm. that is very easy for me to accept that. There was no, we didn't see it this time last week, but there was no path to victory on Saturday in my mind. I mean, whether you want to blame Goff or coordinator distractions or whatever you want to blame, they weren't winning that game Saturday, and that was pretty easy for me to accept and not live in denial.
To the point about like the void and how things have changed, I'll just share something that you said yesterday off air. You came in and said, should we do on Friday a list like a Letterman top 10 of the things we would have been talking about, and we vetoed it. We said, no, it's just too painful.
Are you selling your NFC Championship game ticket? All right, I'll stop.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And yeah, a lot has been taken off the table because they lost. Ticket texters are saying it's not a shame thing, John, because I brought up people being ashamed. They say they just don't want to be approached and asked about it. If they're wearing Lions gear at work or at the grocery store or someone's going to bring up, hey, and they don't want to have those conversations right now. It's too painful.
I mean, yeah, so it can be a conversation starter. You know, how are you dealing with it? Have you watched the line? You know, I get all of that. I don't know. There are so many great moments that happened this season, and you still have to come to the realization that the Detroit Lions are a competent franchise. They're a good franchise, which is hard for a lot of people to wrap their minds around. You should be able to do that now after the two seasons that they've had. They are still one of the best teams. Not the best, but they are still one of the best teams in the NFL.
Ticket Texter has a note for Heather.
Yes.
It says, you got to jump on those boys' mediums right now and get as much Lions gear as you can.
The smaller sizes.
Surprised went with medium. She just went with small.
Oh, boys' medium.
Oh, boys' medium.
Yeah, like a child's medium.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Right over the head.
Well, I just heard that. Yes, I get it.
I know.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of decompression that's going on right now. We'll get some of your thoughts on this. Are you putting away the Lions gear temporarily? Is it just too painful? Or are you still out and about wearing that Lions stuff? It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, and you will definitely need somebody that is on your side, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not a tax organization with a random dork you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Yeah, one of those weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Colin has said he can't wear Lions gear, at least not yet, in the wake of what happened over the weekend. We said, is that an overreaction? Yeah. I wore Lions gear this week. Like, I'm not ashamed.
Can we do a two grand slam with music? Who pulls this one out?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know that. This is pretty old, but this is the old Incredible Hulk TV show.
Oh, I know this one, yeah.
With Bruce Banner, and at the end of the show, they would always play that music, and he'd be walking down the street,
walk off into
by
the
himself, all alone, with a little like a stick with a satchel at the end of it. That's Colin walking down the street
with his lion's ear in the back.
Colin could play the human Bruce Banner, but there's no way he could play the Incredible Hulk.
Person says it's not shame or embarrassment. I'm just not ready to talk about them yet. Texter says, I wouldn't wear lion's gear for most of the week, but I woke up this morning and I did put on a lion's hoodie. It hurts, but it's part of the healing process. Need to do it sooner rather than later, Sam in GR. Yep.
Get back on that bike. Mm-hmm.
So Colin is treating his gear like the Lions are, like Detroit is treating Goff.
Oh.
Okay. This one says, Lions gear went on as soon as the Tigers lost in the playoffs. The Tigers gear went on as soon as the Lions lost.
Right, yeah. You just moved to the next team.
Yeah.
That's the way I've somewhat been coping with it.
And we have a team playing right now. Team that won last night.
Yes.
Carve out a little time for the Pistons here.
Yeah, a playoff. A team that's, if the season were to end today, would actually be in the playoffs.
And there is a clear distinction. The six seed, you avoid all the play-in. They beat Atlanta. That's a team. You like to look at those games. And they beat them easy, handily, on the road. The defense was there. Cade continues his ascent. And after the game, I had a listener say that Cade Cunningham is the best point guard in the East. And I paused. I want to play a game, John.
Okay.
How far are you willing to go? We'll do this kind of like the mountain climber game, all right?
Oh my gosh.
It'll get progressively steeper, but how far are you willing to go with Cade Cunningham? Ready?
Yes.
Cade Cunningham is the best player on the Pistons.
Yeah, I don't think there's not much debate there.
A little bunny hill to step over.
Yeah, okay. So yes, okay, he clears that one.
Cade Cunningham is a top 10 athlete in the city of Detroit.
Yes, because you start looking at all the teams, and I'm not sure there's even a top 10er on the wings. We already said that he's the best on the Pistons. Tigers, we obviously got Scooble, and then we could start debating Lions. That would be on that list. But yeah, so I think he's clearly in the top 10 in Detroit.
Not only top 10, top 5.
Well, what? Easy.
Buddy. Easy. Levels.
Cade Cunningham is an all-star, and as he defined that this week, that's one of the top 24 players in the NBA.
And we find that out tonight, don't we? I believe that's going to be announced tonight. I think that was in one of the updates. I do think he's an all-star. I really do.
They're at least announcing part of the roster. I don't think it's complete yet, but
okay.
But yeah, he is.
He deserves it.
What's he right now? 24-something, 9-something, and 6-something with points, assists, and rebounds?
I think his performance, what he's been able to do this year, and especially for this team, I think he should be in the All-Star game.
25 a game, 9 assists per game is the third highest in the NBA, and he's stronger at the rim. He's controlling this offense. Yeah, he's an All-Star. Is he a top 5 athlete in the city of Detroit?
No. I don't think that's necessarily a hot take. And I'll give you, one, Scooble.
Yeah.
Monroe St. Brown.
Sure. Sewell.
Sewell.
Then he's there.
Aiden Hutchinson. And Jahmyr Gibbs.
He's top 5. Well, I have to be consistent with my top 5 when we did this about a year ago.
Who you bumping
and
out?
And I bullishly put in Cade then, even though he had the injuries. Cade Cunningham's a superstar, potentially.
Potentially, but we're not saying it. We're talking about now.
I'd have ahead of Gibbs.
You have ahead of Gibbs?
Yeah. I'd put him third.
Wow.
It goes Scooble, Sewell, whichever way you want to do it, and then Cunningham for me.
He hadn't had a St. Brown.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay, well, so some of us are still climbing this mountain, so we'll go up another tier. Is he an all-pro? That would be a top 15 player in the NBA.
No. And you start thinking about some of the other guards. Now, is it all-pro? It's got to be position-specific too, right?
Yeah, they do guard, so it doesn't have to be point guard. But is he essentially one of the top six or seven guards in the league?
All right. So, no, I don't think he is. And you start because it's not just his conference. It's obviously it's the entire NBA. And you start talking about Luka Doncic, Darius Garland in Cleveland, LaMelo Ball, Damian Lillard, Halliburton. Halliburton would, to me, would be kind of in the same category, and you could be kind of plus or minus a little bit.
I'd rather have Cade than Halliburton.
Tyrese Maxey, Tyler Hero.
I'd rather have Cade than both those guys. We're getting into the... Tom, you answer, because John's already stepped off the mountain here. Is he an all-NBA guy, top 15 player?
We're doing this for this year right now, right?
Factor it in.
Jalen Brunson.
I will say yes. I'm willing to go one more step at least up the mountain. But this is a close call, and John brought up all the names that you could argue.
Yeah.
Best point guard in the East is the next base camp.
I'm already off. So
yeah, John's off. No. Tom, best point guard in the East.
I'm falling. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No more. We got to stop this lunacy.
So not who is the best point guard in the East? Lillard? LaMelo?
I would probably say Dame. You could go Dame Lillard, Brunson, I think is right there, Garland for Cleveland.
The difference in the New York Knicks since Brunson has got there is night and day. And yeah. I think you got to give some credit to that. That's why I would knock LaMelo Ball, because it's not translating in the win column. It is translating for the Pistons, but it's too soon. But he's doing this without Jaden Ivey. Okay? They're 9-3 since January 1st.
Okay. So we're off the mountain, but the next step would have been best point guard in basketball, best player in basketball, and the greatest of all time. Still got some work to do.
When you put GOAT, I honestly, everything else could have maybe been potentially.
Well, I ask how far, the whole thing is, how far are you willing to go with Cade Cunningham?
All right. Everybody needs to get Cade Cunningham jerseys to replace their Lions gear.
Bingo. He has been phenomenal for the Pistons. People need to pay attention. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown may be happy for Ben Johnson and his new head coaching position, but during a little friendly banter, he made it known that he does plan on beating him twice a year.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I said what I had to say about him being in the division. It wasn't offensive to me. I don't hate him for going in division, and I think it actually does up the ante in the division, and the competition is going to be fun.
Listen to this story. Buffalo Bills fans have raised over $90,000 to support an opposing player after he was just subject to a wave of online hate. You probably know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. During the crucial playoff game Sunday between the Bills and the Ravens, Baltimore tight end Mark Andrews, y'all saw it. He bobbled. He dropped the 2-point conversion that could have tied the game in the fourth quarter. And he appeared heartbroken after the loss, right? There's videos him being consoled by quarterback Lamar Jackson. No matter what anyone said, whether Coach Harbaugh said anything great about him or his teammates backed him up, fans were angry and they jumped online and they spewed their hate and resentment towards him all over his social media. And Andrew's last post on social media on Instagram was a post for National Diabetes Awareness Month in November. And he discussed his continuous glucose monitoring system that he uses because he has type 1 diabetes. Well, while people were calling for him to be canceled and his contract to be ended and things like that, Bill's Mafia did something unexpected, and they started a GoFundMe for his charity. So not directly for him, but a charity that supports juvenile diabetes. And they have raised, I just jumped on the GoFundMe page, $93,358.
Yeah.
They had a goal of raising $5,000. Wow. And they surpassed it.
They've stepped in at different points throughout the history of the Bills Mafia for different things like this. You don't have to be a Bills fan to think that this is awesome.
It is really awesome for sure. The Philadelphia Eagles attempted to make some money, and they did by selling cartons of snow from the playoff game against the Rams.
Ridiculous.
You guys, for $50.
This is bizarre.
It sold out in hours. And there were so many people at this game. Almost 70,000 people attended the game where they could have taken snow themselves right from the game. put it in a jar and I tried to keep it cold in a cooler at home and there you have it. But no, they didn't do that. The team claims their snow is the first ever authenticated snow collectible tied to an NFL playoff win. And people loved it.
Yeah.
But it was in like ice cream pints, kind of like that, like small little containers of dirty snow.
It's so bizarre.
What do you do with it? You put it in the freezer. I mean, it's got to be cold or it's going to turn into water. You're going to put
a 5-gallon bucket in the freezer?
Well, they said it was like pints.
Oh, it's even dumber.
It's better if it's more?
It was a pint for $50.
A pint. That's
what do you do with
dumb.
It? I mean, you put it, you unless you melt it and then you just have water sitting somewhere.
Right. It's dumb.
I think you're a sucker if you buy that.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of them.
Hey, they're good people
lots
out there.
Lots of them.
But also suckers.
Yeah.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the Thursday Touchdown. A reminder, 9 o'clock, we are carrying Brad Holmes' press conference live. It's 97.1. And we're talking about the Lions a lot. They are the Kings of the North, and we toast to the Kings of the North with 1800 Tequila, the best taste in tequila, and a proud partner of the Detroit Lions. Make sure to grab the limited edition Motor City jersey bottles. They're on shelves now. The bottle's design is meant to look like the Motor City alternate jerseys the team wore in Week 18 when they secured the NFC North. They'll be gone soon, but get yours wherever you normally buy 1800 Tequila and enjoy the number one super premium tequila as well as the taste of victory on game day. 1800 Tequila, Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.